The theme of tonight's lesson as we continue this series on salt and light, that we're on lesson six, a sheep of Christ's flock. I think most of us here tonight have heard that analogy given at some point in your life, that God is that Christ is the great shepherd, the good shepherd, and we are the sheep. And so that's the emphasis of tonight. In Psalm 95, verse 7, we're going to be in quite a few different Bible passages, not just one, so it's more of a topical type study about this idea. Verse 7, for he is our God, Psalm 95, 7, for he is our God, we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand, and the sheep of his hand. And then Psalm 100, you maybe have memorized that or been more familiar with as one of the maybe a little bit more of a famous psalm. Verse 3, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. The sheep of his pasture. So there are various places in the Bible that speak about sheep and shepherds. And of course, the Middle East, as we've even heard mentioned here tonight, is a lot of desert. And so a lot of times, there wasn't so much crop growing as there was, let's say, animal raising, okay, if that makes sense. So they would have animals and not so much in the way of crops. And when someone had a large herd of sheep or cattle or whatever, if he was wealthy enough, then he would hire people to help him take care of them, and those would be called shepherds. And, of course, again, it's not a word that isn't used. It's used very frequently. That's what I'm trying to say. And so a shepherd, if you're going to hire someone who's going to be a shepherd, you want to hire someone who's very trustworthy. You want to hire somebody who's dependable. You don't want to hire somebody who's constantly late for work or constantly not getting the job done. And so this was very essential. Now, we know that our shepherd is fully dependable. Amen? The good shepherd, the great shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want, right? You've heard that before. And he is dependable, there's no question about it. We can trust him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, we can trust him. So we're going to talk tonight about how should we respond. We know he's dependable, we know he's faithful. How should we respond? Number one, we should seek to hear the shepherd's voice. And then the word with that is allegiance. Allegiance. Now, the primary responsibility of a shepherd is to keep the sheep safe, to keep the sheep safe. So that means it's very important that a shepherd knows the voice, or excuse me, the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. And it's even common, even in, I'm talking about like the four-legged variety, okay? Studies, and they show it, that they know the voice of their shepherd. Amongst a whole lot of voices, they can distinguish the voice of their shepherd. But it's not just listening for the voice of the shepherd. What's the next step? Obeying. It's one thing if we know the shepherd's voice, but if we're not obeying the shepherd, honestly, what's the point? The point is just hearing. The point is obeying. So the point of the Christian life is not just reading the Bible. That's, again, don't get me wrong, read it. But it's application. I'm a firm believer, always have been, even greater, maybe even now, that the point of our, the greatest need is not necessarily even reading, it's applying. Because you can read till the cows come home or the sheep come home, whichever you prefer. But if you don't obey, and I don't obey, it's just like reading a novel. Or it's just like reading fiction. No, this is the inspired, infallible Word of God that we have. And so it's not, I mean, again, I'm not trying to say don't read it. I'm trying to say let's take it to the next level. Let's grow beyond just the taking of it in to the applying it. So the shepherd sees beyond what the sheep can. God sees beyond what you can. God sees beyond what I can. So we need to hear from God on a regular basis. And God wants you to listen, and God has something to say. Now, letter A, as we're listening to God, our shepherd, we are constantly fed. Constantly fed. Like cattle, Sheep are what's called ruminants, R-U-M-I-N-A-N-T-S, ruminants. That means they have several compartments in their stomach. And when they eat the food, it goes down in for a while, and then maybe later on they bring the food back up, and they continue to get nutrients out of it. The word that we get from this is called meditation in our vernacular, okay? And so their digestive process is different than yours and different. It's different. And so it's the idea of constantly being fed, not on the grass, but on the Word of God. And so this is the key. What is our food spiritually? Our food spiritually is the Scripture. Let's go to Job 23, if you could, please. Job 23. Some of these verses you've read before, and I trust that they will speak to you in a different way than they did last time. Isn't that amazing how God's Word can do that? Job 23:12, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. So I've not gone back from God's commands. I've stayed with it. I have esteemed the words of his mouth. Esteem means to give great value to, right? More than my necessary food. I think even Brother Chauvin might have quoted this verse within the last week of our meetings, and praise the Lord for those. So I have esteemed his words more than my necessary food. It is vital that we ingest God's word so that our hearts and minds can grow. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Write the little Sunday school song, neglect your Bible, forget to pray, and you shrink, shrink, shrink. There's something to that. Okay? Let's turn over to Psalm 119. And let's look at how the psalmist, the sweet psalmist, tells us here in this longest psalm in our Bible by verse division anyway, and how it was divided up. 119, 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Is time in God's word a duty or a delight? We want it to grow, not from just, I have to read the Bible, to, I get to read the Bible. Sweet, right? When I think of sweet, I think of something that is very delightful. We have some sweet things on the back counter back there. I don't know if we planned this, dear, but somehow you knew what to do, right? I didn't tell her anything about it. But there's some sweet things back there for after church, okay? That's what the psalmist says here. Now think about, the psalmist did not have the entire Word of God. We have all 66 books. We have a more sure word of prophecy. We have even more sweetness. I never really thought about that until this time going through this and thinking about the fact that, oh, yeah, you know, we reread the Bible. They didn't have the whole Bible. Maybe the psalmist had. I don't know how much of the Bible he had. Maybe all he had was the first five books. Maybe he had Job. I don't know, but I know he didn't have all of it. But tonight, you're holding the entire written word of God, which means it's even sweeter because there's more there to ingest. There's more there to enjoy. And I wonder, do we value the word of God? Do we value it? Many times what happens is the world and the flesh dull our spiritual taste buds. And so we've got to say that when we get into the Word of God, we've got to get clean before we get into the Word of God at times, you know. We've got to block out all the distractions. Sometimes we got to read it out loud, you know. I was reading a book out loud today in my office, and Brother Rod came, and he came up to the door. I didn't see him the first time, but he came up to the door, and he thought I was on the phone. I was reading a book out loud. I didn't know anybody was there. And then I guess about 2 minutes later, he came back, and then I saw him in the door, and he knocked, and he said, oh, I thought you were on the phone. I said, no, I like to read out loud. Because when you're reading out loud, your ears are hearing everything you're reading. And your eyes are, of course, involved, and your mind is more engaged for me. And there's just less distractions when I'm reading out loud. I don't always do that. But anyway, I was doing that today. And so we need to feast our souls and our spirits on the Word of God. Otherwise, we will wither. We will be weak sheep. Now, we're sheep are whatever they are anyway. We'll talk more about that. But we can be strong sheep if we're ingesting the Word of God, as it says, constantly feed. Being faithful to the house of God, listening to the teaching and preaching of God's Word, maintaining your own personal devotional life. All of these things help us. Let's go to the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians. And Paul talks about, the psalmist said, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Now, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:2, he wanted to give them more, but he couldn't. And so he said in chapter 3, verse 2, I have fed you with milk, not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are ye able. Now, everybody needs milk. Okay? Everybody needs milk. But it shouldn't stay that way. It shouldn't be milk for 25 years. All right? There should be some meat going in there. There should be some depth going in there. And we need this. We need this. Why? Because the enemy can only be withstood by the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I mean, yes, we have the armor, but we have that one offensive weapon, and that is the Word of God. We need to stay in the Word of God and constantly feeding on the Word of God. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do. There it is again. Observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. I mean, that's a great word, isn't it? In just our everyday life, if somebody said, that's a prosperous person, we would say, that's great. They've worked hard, they've labored hard, they're diligent, whatever it may be. I'm talking about in a secular way. But this is in a spiritual way that Joshua said, your prosperity or your success, he uses the word right there at the end of it, is directly tied to your being in the Word of God, but then obeying the Word of God. Again, we come down to the application. God told Joshua, this is how you can be successful. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in what? Delight. Remember, is it a duty or is it a delight? The psalmist said, Miss Ross, would you mind grabbing that water? That frog just keeps grabbing my vocal cords. He's got sticky fingers tonight, and I can't get him down. Thank you. Thank you. The psalmist said, delight. Delight in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Who is this that does this? The blessed person. Who doesn't want to be blessed? I mean, unless you bumped your head too many times and you can't figure it out. I'm not making fun. I'm just saying we're all of right mind here tonight. We want to be blessed. We need God's blessing. And it comes directly through the Word of God. So we must constantly feed on the Word of God. I'll just give you these quickly, and then we'll move on to letter B. Five times in Psalm 119, the word meditation is listed. I'm just going to give you the references. They might even be there in your notes. Verse 15, verse 23, verse 48, verse 78, and 148. Meditate, meditate, meditate. This is that ruminant type thinking of God giving you a verse or two in the morning and it being ruminating all day long. That's delighting in it. That's just getting everything out of it. Why? So that we can obey it. So we can tell somebody else about it. Again, God's word changes lives. So we must constantly feed. Then, letter B, we must submit to the shepherd's control. Take the word shepherd. You have sheep, herd. Sheep, herd, shepherd. So it is not just his job to provide and protect, but it's also to control them or herd them. We must submit to the control of the shepherd. Submission is not just a part of a marriage. Submission is a part of our relationship with God. He is the great shepherd. Thinking about some hymns. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Trust should not just simply be by itself. Where he leads me, I will follow. Ernest Blandy wrote, where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, all the way. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. So he's not just the provider-protector, he's also the controller. And do we ever need that in our life? We do. Psalm 5, verse 8, lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. We need God's leading. In and of ourselves, we're not going to know which way to go. We're sheep. We need the sheep herd. We need the shepherd. And he's a faithful shepherd. He's a dependable shepherd. Now, the reason why we need to be, another reason why we need to be with the shepherd, but also with the other sheep, is that sheep are more susceptible to attack when they are separated from the flock. When a predator can get a sheep away from the flock, you get a bunch of hyenas or whatever, right? Maybe not hyenas, but something, wolf maybe, coyotes. They get one away. That sheep, I'm sorry, he's going to be sheep kebab. That's it. He's done. But in the group, there's protection. This is another reason I believe it is so important to be in every church service we possibly can. We need to be around other sheep. We need to hear from the great shepherd. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I wrote this down, and I'm going to read exactly how I wrote it in the notes here. As the years go by, being involved in church and being in church seems to be more optional than ever before. I know I'm speaking to the Wednesday night crowd, but fewer Christians have the Bible conviction of being faithful to God's house. It's got to be a Bible conviction. That's the point. And you say, why is it a Bible conviction? Because it's very clearly laid out for us in the epistles that we are to be a part of a local church and we're to be faithful. We're not faithful to the pastor. We're not faithful even really to the church. We're faithful to the shepherd. But it must be a Bible conviction. If it's a preference, then there will be things that will come up that will get in the way and will allow things to get in the way. If it's a conviction and we're healthy and we can get there, then we're going to be there. Church attendance is now optional when it fits my schedule. You know, I was thinking about this. I'm glad God doesn't look at me that way. When you fit into my schedule, Ben, I'll be there for you. You know what? God never says that. He's always there for you. He's always there for me. I must remain connected to our local church. I must remain faithful and accountable. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. But here's part of it. Exhorting one another. It doesn't say, and less. It says, so much the more. As ye see the day. What day? The coming of the Lord. As ye see the day, we need to gather more. We need to be together more. We need to pray together more. Why? Because we're sheep and we can help. There might be one time where you're a wounded sheep and some other sheep can help encourage you. And it might be the other way around the next time. I'm just saying we do help one another. So we must hear the shepherd's voice, allegiance. Number two, we must follow the shepherd's lead, action. Follow the lead of the shepherd. Letter A, keep moving or become stagnant, right? Like the Dead Sea. Stagnant. Nothing going, nothing happening. Now, a sheep, if it's left in one area, is going to eat that grass all the way down to the ground and the roots and everything. And it's not going to be good. So they have to rotate the crops, not the crops. They got to rotate the sheep because overgrazing will take place. And so they move their sheep to fresh pasture. Peter reminds us that we need constant growth, constant growth. If you want to, maybe it's in your notes there, but 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Constant growth. Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize. I press toward the mark, right? That has the idea of action. Now, your action and my action, we're not comparing one another. That's not wise, but we are moving forward. He says, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, Philippians 3:14. So we must keep moving. This is one reason why each church must continually work to advance the cause of Christ. Would you continue to pray that Anchor Baptist Church would never become stagnant? Would you pray that we never become, well, us four and no more? Would you pray that we never become, well, we're supporting 41 missionaries, that's enough. No, we want to add more. We want to do more. We're waiting on the Lord. We're praying. We're not running ahead of God. But when God shows us something, we need to move. When God says, okay, let's go. Let's move ahead. Let's step out by faith. You know, faith pleases God. And without faith, we cannot please God. 2026, I'm praying that we as a church will be able to take some steps of faith, where we know God is leading, but we're still going to have to step out. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We're not going to see it all ahead of time, or then it's not faith. We've got to step out. We've got to keep moving. Letter B, we must not follow the crowd. Now, we're going to make sure we don't get confused here about what we were saying earlier. Sheep follow sheep. A USA Today article written many years ago reported that a mass suicide of sheep occurred in Turkey. I figured that was a great article for previous things in the meeting. I'll just say that. While the shepherds briefly left the flock, one sheep jumped off a cliff. This is July 8, 2005 article in the USA Today paper. When the shepherds returned, they were unable to stop almost 1,500 remaining sheep from following. 450 sheep were killed. Why? They followed the crowd. They followed the crowd. They followed the wrong crowd. Even at birth, lambs are conditioned to follow one another. Now, this may contradict even what I said earlier. You might think, okay, no, that doesn't contradict, because here's the thought. Sheep need the flock for protection, but they must listen to the voice of the shepherd for direction. Sheep need one another for protection. Obviously, we're protected by the great shepherd. But then when somebody starts to move the wrong way, we're not watching the movement of our fellow man, because our eyes are to be on the Lord. We're following the direction of the shepherd. Because in Romans 14:12, it says, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself. Think about that. To God. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ as believers. 2 Corinthians 5:10. That everyone may receive the things done in this body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Yes, follow godly examples as long as they're following Christ. Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And nothing's changed. God has given us leaders to follow as they are following the Lord. Yes. Our eyes are on the Lord, but we follow who God puts in our path as, in this case, an under-shepherd or some other leader in the church. Turn to Exodus 23. I want you to see this, please. Exodus 23, please. God gave some commands. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. So this is profitable for you and me tonight. Look at Exodus 23, verse 2. It was a problem then, and it's a problem in 2026. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Did you ever hear this? Is everyone doing it? You know, where did that come from? Maybe from the Bible. You know. Oh, so everyone's doing it, so that makes it okay. Maybe we said that to our kids. Maybe I heard that when I was a kid, right? Thou shalt not follow the multitude to do evil, neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to rest judgment. So it doesn't matter if 99 out of 100 are doing it. If it's wrong, be the one that stands up and says, no, this isn't right. That's one thing we're going to have to have a spiritual backbone, not a noodle backbone. A cooked one, that is. You know, a cooked noodle, right? It's all over the place. That's what we have in Christianity today. Noodles. We need some steel. No more noodles. We need steel backbones. We need a steel rod in our backbone, spiritual steel rod that says it doesn't matter what even Christendom says, whatever that is. It matters what the Scriptures say. Man, I tell you, let's stay with the Word of God. The crowd is so up and down and all around. But you know what? God's Word's the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13:8. Praise God for that. People who follow the crowd without thinking for themselves often find themselves reaping unforeseen consequences. God gave me one of these. He gave me His Spirit, and He gave me this book. God will never lead me contrary to His Word. God will never lead you contrary to His Word. Don't be the sheep that just follow without thinking. God has enabled you, God has enabled me to have discernment. Discernment. Number one, hear the shepherd's voice, allegiance. Number two, follow the shepherd's voice, action. Number three, remain in the shepherd's care. This is abiding. Abiding. Again, these sheep owners were very careful in their selection of shepherds that they hired. Why? Because these sheep were not pets. I mean, can you imagine having, 1,000 sheep and naming all of them? My brother right now is getting into farming and animals and all this. And sadly, it's up to you, Matt, whatever you want to do if you hear this. But they're naming them. Well, one of their cows just came home from the butcher. Matt sent me a picture the other day and he said, what do you remember the name of that cow? I forgot right now. Anyway, Biscuit, yeah. He said, Biscuit's in the freezer. I'm like, oh, those poor kids. I got young nieces and nephews, so they only have a few. If they want to name them, that's their business. But no shepherd with 1,000 sheep is going to have names for all of them. Maybe they do. I don't know, but I don't think so. The point is, they're not pets. They're their livelihood. They're whether or not they're going to eat. Sorry, okay? PETA or whatever those people are, I'm sorry. They're their livelihood, right? They need the meat. They're going to sell it. They're going to eat it themselves. It's not just a pet. Thank God for pets. What I'm trying to say is you and I are valuable to God. We aren't just dirt with no purpose. We are dirt the breath of life has been given to us. And we have a living soul in us that we can bring honor and glory to God. We are valuable to God. Yes, what makes up our body? I remember seeing a report one time that if you added up all the chemicals in a body, it's actually not very expensive when you add them all up. I can't remember what the number is. I'm not even going to guess. I think it was less than $100, but I could be wrong. But that's not what it's about. We are valuable to God. He calls us the sheep of His pasture. We looked at that earlier. Psalm 103. He inspired David to write that the Lord was his shepherd. So letter A, we think about this, abiding, letter A, depend on His protection. Depend on His protection. We cannot defend ourselves. A ram might be able to do a little bit of damage, but that's about it. The rest of us, we're in trouble. We need to depend on Him for protection. We can resist the devil. 1 Peter 5:9, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. We can resist steadfast in the faith. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. I like this verse too, by the way. James 4:7, this is a great verse. You need to really meditate on this one. Because a lot of times and we're going to talk about it eventually in a little bit more detail. But a lot of times we just say, I'm going to resist the devil. But wait a minute, what does it say before that? It says submit to God. So tonight we got to submit to the shepherd before we can resist the lion. The lion is ready to pounce. But if we submit to the shepherd, submit yourselves therefore unto God, resist the devil, then he will flee from you. We need the Lord to get Satan away. You know what? Here's a verse. Go to Jude. Jude chapter 1. Are you with me? Okay. Jude, there's only one chapter. I think everybody here knew that. Sorry. See, if you're awake back there, and the guys that are from Saskatchewan, are you awake? Okay. He blinked. He's awake. Look what it says about this. This is interesting. Jude 9. Yet Michael the archangel, I mean, we're talking about pretty powerful individual, not individual, but you know what I'm saying, right? Pretty powerful force here. Created being, angel. When contending with who? The devil. All right, so the battle's on. Doesn't matter what it was about, but he disputed the body of Moses. Okay, that's not the point of what I'm showing you this. Durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, I rebuke thee? No. Michael didn't go after the devil. Be careful. You can't go after the devil, by the way. I wouldn't advise that. Not going to end well. He said, the Lord rebuked thee. So even Michael the archangel said, I've got to have the Lord. I've got to have the Lord. If Michael the archangel needs the Lord to help him, you do too. And so do I. Jesus used the word of God to defeat the devil, right? We know these things, but it's good to hear him again. He didn't just say, get out of here. He said, it is written. It is written. And I would encourage all of us here tonight, this is really the best way for us to have a thought that needs to go bye-bye. We need to just start meditating on the word of God, meditating on scripture. God is always watching over us. Psalm 121:4, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. We can trust him. We can depend on his protection. Then let her be. We can depend on his promises. He is reliable. Look, everybody in this room, at one point or another, we weren't reliable. We weren't at some point. We messed up. We forgot the appointment. We were late. Whatever it may be, things happen. I'm not saying we wanted to be unreliable, but we're human. We're unreliable sometimes. God is never unreliable. He's always reliable. The sheep depend on the shepherd to take them to the fresh pasture, to lead them in the right direction, to keep them away from the hazards. And in every way, the sheep are dependable on the shepherd. So it is with you, and so it is with me. In John chapter 10, two times we read this, I am the good shepherd, verse 11 and verse 14. That's still true today. All of us here could talk about some things in our life that weren't good, but the shepherd is good. Amen? Shepherd's good. God is good. All the time. We can trust him. We can depend on his promises. Psalm 9, verse 10. They that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. What a great promise. Seek God, you're never going to be forsaken. So what promises do we have? Here's a couple. Number one, we have the promise of his presence now and forever. Now and forever. I'm going to give you some references to jot down. Psalm 37, 28. Hebrews 13, 5. 1 Corinthians 2, 9. Those are all under, we have the promise of his presence now and forever. Secondly, we have the promise of his peace. I'm not giving you all the promises. We'd be here till Sunday. His peace, John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. John 16, 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you shall have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Jesus said that. Romans 5, 1. We have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Amen. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. These are verses that are wonderful to try to commit to memory. Meditate on them. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep our hearts and minds. Joshua testified of God's unfailing promises at the end of his life. Joshua 23, 14, he said, behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you. Talk about the promises. Not one thing hath failed thereof. Wow. We can say that too. If we have the whereabouts in our dying days, if the Lord doesn't rapture us out of here, we can say, not one thing hath failed from the Lord in my life. I can trust his promises. So we want to be able to hear the shepherd's voice. I'm not one that believes, and again, I'm not here to make an argument. I'm not one to believe that God's going to make him some voice and I'm going to hear him talking audibly. I don't need that. I don't believe God speaks that way anymore. Why? Because we have the Bible. This is how I'm going to hear God's voice, is through the scriptures, in my inner man. So I must read and meditate on the Word of God. Then I hear it, then I obey it. Right? That thou mayest observe to do, Joshua 1:8. By reading and meditating on the Word of God, we are guaranteed, applying it, we are guaranteed that the enemy will flee from us. We have a great enemy. He's a roaring lion, but we have a greater shepherd, the greatest shepherd. So I pray that we can take some of these verses. Maybe a few of them stood out more than others. They're all powerful. It's God's word. But maybe something tonight in your life about this idea of being faithful sheep to the shepherd.